Jesus. Thank you. Can we get the house lights up, please? Please. If you guys go ahead and give me just a little bit of something, please. Josh, if you keep your eyes on me, sir, I want you to come down on the red a little bit more and come up on my white mic. I've got that humming in my ears and it will distract me. But we've had a time. We have had a time. Not just a time in church, because you'll miss it. You've had a time experience with Daddy. That's what it's about. You've experienced Daddy. And if you miss some things, we can recap or you can go to the podcast. But if you missed it and you think you're going to get it on the podcast or listening to it again, some things just got to be caught when it's been. Just got to be caught. Because we try to teach it to you, but if you don't grab it and don't catch it, it's not going to become part of you. You got to catch it, hold on to it, and not let go. We heard the prophet say last night that Jacob wrestled. He toiled, he wrestled, he fought. Many of us go through a season where we're fighting against God, and then, but some of us in our intellect know that it is God, but we still think that we can take God out. Oh, we got this. We're gonna take God out. I know my word. I can fight with the word, but you can't fight the word with word. It's not the ace that's in the hole. You're gonna have to wrestle with God to get what you want. And sometimes you gotta do something that you really don't want to do. And go through something that you would never chose to go through. Some of these doors that you go through have been shut in your face. Shut in your face, and you get so mad, you get angry, you want to fight with God. God, why'd you do this to me? He said, when I shut a door, why are you going back to it? Why are you getting mad because the door got shut? Why are you getting all bent out of shape because I shut it for you? Don't you know that I look after you? I got plans not to harm you, but to do good for you. The Lord told me, you need to call this conference the opening. I said, the open door? He says, no, the opening. Because some things are not going to be the doors. Some of it has to be the opening of revelation, the opening and the understanding, and more importantly, the opening for you to receive Him. We can't have church without having Jesus. You can't have salvation without having Jesus. You can't have heaven without having Jesus. You can't have life without having Jesus. You've got to have the opening, the awakening of your heart and your understanding so that He can come in. But first, you have to let Him in. Let Him in. Don't have Him at a distance. Let Him in. We get to that point where we want to have Jesus and we're in the outer court and He's way in the Holy of Holies. But I'm in the kingdom. I'm in the outer court. Being in the outer court, at least I'm saved. I'm not out in the world. I'm saved. There's so much more. So much more. But it takes you and that responsibility that you have to follow that process all the way to Him. All the way to Him. To experience a greater level. A greater level. I've been saved for quite some time. But I thank God I wasn't always saved. Because if I was always saved, I wouldn't understand mercy and grace. I knew that when He reached down and saved me, oh, He went down to the pit of hell to get me. Some of y'all, He went down there just recently to get you. Yeah. He said, I need you to get to church today. Today. Because you probably had plans of your own to go someplace else. God said, I need you to go to church today. Well, his spurs are tonight. Pastor, you don't understand. I work 6 days a week and my only day off is Sunday. And spurs play today. Jesus is on the throne. 365. And then what we call leap year. There's an extra day. He's still there. He's there. He ain't left. He ain't take a day off. There ain't no Labor Day where he takes off. you think he's worried about just because the Spurs are playing. The Spurs are playing. I don't know about you, but your destiny's playing out right before you. Your destiny is. If we could have a people that take their destiny serious, and that they're more focused on their destiny, where God wants to take them, and not where they're at and where they've been, but where God wants to take them, they can let go of the door that got shut before them. And they can look onto the next door that will open up, but they don't want to look at the opportunity that God has placed before them on that open door, the opening that has come. For some of you, it may be just cracked open just a little bit, but you're not taking notice that it's open because you're still looking at the door that's been shut. Matter of fact, he took the key. Y'all don't want to play with me now. Y'all tired? Good, I'll wake you up. Hey! Who shut this door? Hey! There must be something in there for me because it's shut. There must be something in there because it's shut. I've got to keep on knocking because it's shut. I just got to keep on knocking. But what you don't understand, he says, that's the door that I shut. Why are you going back to that one? Why are you going back to this one? Look at the door that I've opened for you. Look at it. Look at it. I already opened it. You ain't got to knock no more. I opened it. And because I opened it, all you got to do is just walk through it. Just walk through it. And when you walk through it, don't look back to the door that's closed. Don't look to the restricted places of your life that you've been, or where you've come out of, or what God has put you through, and get mad at God because you can't get in where you don't belong anymore. Sometimes he says, I've got to lock the door, take the key away so you don't go back. I'll even blind you so you can't go back to it. You've been looking for something that's no longer there. Where is this door? Where is it? You're lost. Turn around. Grab your bearings. Say, God, I need you to guide me to the open door. Guide me to where I need to go. And let go of where I came from. And let go of where I have been stuck. So I can get someplace that is better for me. And I've seen people for too long. This is the heart of a shepherd, to see people for too long suffering at the things that they want to go back to. And get mad at him for something that they chose to do. Why are you getting mad at God when he didn't hurt you? He didn't lie to you, but you equate him to your earthly father that left you, that molested you, that whooped you and beat you. But this daddy, he saw fit to close that door of history in your life that brought about so much pain, so he can open up something for you that you could walk through. And some people want to tag on and say, yeah, that's that door that's for you. That's that door. Because it's shut. Maybe it's bigger on the other side for you. You just stay put right there. People start to congregate around you and say, start knocking on that door because it's shut. Because it's about to open if you keep on knocking. And you're missing the point. God shut it. Let no man try to open it. And the devil knows how to keep you focused on something that you can't obtain. And you're looking at that door. I said, it must be God. Oh, God is working my faith. He's working my faith. No, he's working your ignorance. Turn around. Turn around. I don't know about you. Yeah, with the persistence and that whole parable that the man goes knocking to the friend's house. I need some bread. I need something because someone came over to my house and I didn't have enough there, but I kept knocking and knocking. When God says, I shut that door, you can knock all you want, but you are not going to open it. You're not going to budge it. I'll move that door so you can't even find out there was an access point there anymore. What God is saying is, I'm going to close portals that you have opened. I'm going to close portals that came down from a lineage that you knew not of. And the portal that is going to be closed is going to set you free, but you got to let it go. There's some soul ties that are about to be broken today. Soul ties. Now, I'm going to say, I know it's Sunday and I should be preaching like it's Sunday. And bless God, we're in church today. Give your neighbor a high five. And I'm going to tell you that. No, I'm telling you this. Today, all those folks that you've been sleeping with out of marriage or in marriage and going and messing around, those soul ties are about to be broken. You got some spiritual soul ties in your life are about to be broken. You got people in your life that are trying to hold you, manipulate you, and keep you from going where you need to go. That soul tie is about to be broken. Why? Because I'm shutting the door of your past, shutting the door of your history, but I'm about ready to open up the door of your future and your destiny by the word of God. Quit holding on. Quit holding on. God told me this morning, I got up and I should have never went where I went last night. baby. I heard it all night. Got to church. Oh, hallelujah. We get all mad like, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. That ain't the Holy Ghost. That's the bean and cheese nachos you had last night. You put too much pico de gallo on it, and now you're thinking that's the Holy Ghost. No, you ain't getting delivered. You should have known better. Go home, go to bed, get rested. And I try, but I talk myself into a coma. Lord, I'll eat your food, my food. And the prophet don't finish that salad, I'll eat that salad too. God is a good of abundance and overflow. But I knew one thing, that he told me this morning, you get up and you continually do as I've instructed you to do. You know, the Lord told me never come to this church past 7 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. You get here before 7 and I'll meet you at the door. I have told my wife many times, I walk in and he's right there waiting for me. Haven't I told you that many times? And I'll come in like, Lord Jesus, you're here. I know it. I know you're here. He says, if you remain faithful what I've already given you instructions to do, I'll begin to give you other instructions. But you got to be faithful for the one I've already given you. You can't usurp the instructions of God and think that you can do what you want to do. Because you're going to walk yourself right back into a dead end. And I saw God this morning, strong, mighty, standing. I said, God, Bible says that you're sitting on your throne. He goes, but I stand for my children. I stand for my children. And I know that you feel me. And I know that you know I'm about to do something. You can sense it. Now your body and your mind is lining up with your spirit. And now, what was that? We can be incongruent. Congruent. Why not just say agreement? We can be in agreement with the Spirit of God and begin to do things together with God as opposed to trying to do it with man. I said, Lord, just speak to me. Speak to me. He goes, tell him. I'm the door. And I'll show them the 7 doors. The 7 doors that I have for them. I said, Lord, you mean 7 doors? There's 7 doors in the Bible. He says, open your word, I'm going to show you. Well, I know there's 7 lampstands, there's 7 churches. Because there's 7 doors. Now tell them. Because what I do for you is because I love you. Turn and face your horizon. Face the mountain that is there. And climb to the glory that he has waiting for you. And know that at the mountain it's lonely, but you're with God. And when you climb that, not everybody's going to climb with you. But he destined you to climb. And beloved, grab hold. For your beloved Father in heaven is calling you to come up here. Come up here. I have shut the door of your past. I have shut the doors of disappointment. I have shut the door. Now come up to a place of destiny. That I will reveal to you the mysteries, says the Spirit of the living God. The mysteries that you ask and you seek of me. The season of travail. He said, Lord, how many births do I have to go through? Can I not just see it mature? Beloved, if you just come into me and stay in my presence, keep your eyes just focused on me, destiny awaits you. Beloved, be encouraged. The climb is difficult, but the view is great. And you shall see the face of God. I'm doing the work, and I'll finish the work. It's the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Oh, God, you're so good. I thank you, Father. I thank you for the prayer. I thank you, Father God, for the men of God that have come in. I thank you, Father, for declarations. And I thank you that we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And, Father, I thank you. I don't have to rebuke no devil, no demon. All I've got to do is worship you, God. And when I worship you, you fight my battles. And you prepare the way for the gospel to come forth with ease. So, Father, I just thank you right now for victory in this service today. In Jesus' mighty name. All right, I want you to grab your sword. Grab your Bible, please. And I want to traverse in this real quick. And I say quick, we'd be out of here before the Spurs start. I'll make get you out of here by 6:30 then. I've titled this message, Seven Doors of God for Us All. The Seven Doors of God for Us All. We all know that God will make a way, right? Where there is no way. He's the way maker. He will open things up. If you feel like you're at a dead end, he will make a way for you. As long as you surrender to him. Amen. What I want to do is just give you, just real quickly, why the Lord has impressed upon my heart the opening, basically around the door. In Hebrew, petach means doorway. Deleth means door. Greek, thura, which represents both meanings. The door is normally made of wood. If you go back and you research history, the door is made of wood. What does wood represent? Humanity. Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus came in human form. Okay? Now, this door right here, made of wood and has got glass, can be very prophetic, because in Revelation there's a sheet of glass that you can see very clear. You can see to the other side. Now it has hinges. See these hinges? Huh? These brass hinges here, they look gold. They're not real gold, so don't try to steal them. You ain't going to get nothing for them. These hinges. Humanity hinges so that it can open and close. Sometimes doors swing both ways, do they not? Have you seen those ones when you go into and you push, like, what do you call those saloon doors where you open them and they go this way? They go back and forth. You can go in and out either way. And they swing both ways. Those hinges are allowing you to go in and allowing you to come out. Right? And those hinges will represent the saints of God. Now, you can't have a hinge without having a mechanism that's going to allow it to swing. To pivot. So you usually have a bolt. That bolt goes right through that hinge. It connects the two together. Which means, look, because there's two hinges right here. Two hinges. One on the doorpost and one on the door. They get connected by a rod. A rod. In other words, we have got to be in agreement on what we're doing. We have got to be in agreement. And the rod that comes through is usually made of iron. And the hinges are brass. The door is humanity. It's wood. The door will open. Jesus said, I'm the door. I am the door. And those that come to me will have eternal life. But before he even makes that statement in the Word, he says there's been others that come as thieves and robbers. As thieves and robbers. He says, but my sheep hear my voice. Here's the thing. We have many voices that are speaking. Which one are you listening to? Which one are you listening to? We've got to make sure that we have that understanding that we've got to listen to God's voice. I want you to turn to John 10, please. John 10, verse 1 through 9. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. It is John 10, 1 through 9. And if you would, say amen when you arrive there. If you have it, John 10, please stand to your feet so we can read God's Word. I know normally I allow you to sit, stand, run if you want to, but I want you to stand as I want to read this as we're coming to an end of what we would call a conference, but I believe it's the beginning of an era that God has prophesied not only into a house, but over a city and over a people. John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what these things were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that it is the very word that gives us the substance, Father God. The substance, Lord, that gives us hope in our life, hope in our journey, and hope for our destiny. I thank you for the very word, Father God, that encourages us, lifts us, rebukes us with love, and corrects us, Father God, because we are your children. And I thank you for your word in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, Amen. You may be seated if you can. I want to continue on with this. As you notice, he says, I am the door, right? And he repeats it, I am the door, I am the door, I am the door. We have to understand that the whole reason for the opening, is because the door. Let's not go back to that door. Let's not go back to that door. That's not there no more. It's locked. He's thrown away the key. He's thrown it all away. We just got to make sure that we're going to the door that he has ordained for your life. Your life, not just any door, but the door that is ordained for your life. Because not every door that looks pretty and looks good is your door. Just because it's got the beautiful brass or the beautiful silver, some of y'all like to have, because, you know, back in the day, mama, before I could do anything, I had to polish all the brass with Brasso. Now, look, the brass was all over the walls, down the hallway. Back then we used to have a den. It was in the den. And if you didn't polish it, it was tarnished and it would look green and ugly. But in order for it to get that luster out, you'd have to polish it. I'd be there for a long time. The hours would be just going away. But as long as I put effort into it and I would polish it, I knew that at the end of that polishing, I was about to get into a good time Chevy van, red. And I could get in there and take my friends with me wherever I wanted to go. And times that I looked down that hallway and I saw all that brass, I got scared. I said, it ain't ever going to happen before the football game's about to start. So let me call some people to come and help me. So now I had some people come on over to the house, grab a couple of rags. Now, you know, they weren't real rags. They were the old socks that you couldn't find and the old Fruit of the Looms that you threw out. That's what you really used. Now, because you didn't have those nice fiber cloth ones. You know, you had those old things. The old things that you would discard were the things that you would use to make something that was old look new again. Watch this. Some things that you discard, watch this, is the things that God's going to say, I'm going to use that, but I'm not going to use it the way you used to use it. I'm going to use it differently to make something that turned tarnished have some shine to it. See, some of us go through seasons in our life that we'll discard some things. We'll discard some things. And we think that that gift is no longer needed because why are we going to do it? Why do we need it? Everybody else has that same gift, but why do we need another preacher? Why do we need another prophet? Why do we need another apostle? He says these are for the working and the equipping of the saints and to establish the kingdom of God. But this is the thing. We get rid of some things and God said, I'm going to have you use it. Don't discard it. You may not have it for a season. Well, I called some friends over and they didn't know what they were getting themselves into. It got so bad, my mama knows this. It got so bad, my hands were black. How many of y'all know what brass is? You know that brass. Come on, y'all used to have it. Mm-hmm. And they would go to flea markets to go buy it real cheap. Yeah. Every time we go to the flea market, I was like, oh, Lord, here comes some more work. And my Aunt Baya has a tendency not just to buy one item, but to buy quite a few items of brass. I feel, well, they ain't coming to my house. I'll be all right. But what she would do? Oh, this is for you. This is for you. This is for you. And I would look at my aunt. I said, why are you doing that? I love you. I'm going to spend even longer polishing this stuff. Some things you may have to call on other people to come and help you. To come and help you do some things. To get you to where you're able to go. Wow, see, Pastor, that's not even in the Bible. Watch this. Look, Moses didn't do it by himself. Huh? He didn't do it by himself. David didn't do it by himself either. He had people to help him. He always had somebody else. Why? Because there was agreement. There would be agreement and things could get done. Now, I had this friend of mine called Pat Perez. Okay. Yeah. Some of my folks know Pat. And he would come over and he was always at the house, but he was always there like, why we got to do this again? You know how long it took us last time? I said, I know. Now let's call my other friend Bobby and we'll get it done even faster. Now Bobby would come over. And Bobby's like, wait a minute. I thought we were going skating. We used to go roller skating. You know you did, Ray. You know you did. I know you did. Don't. Because you used to have the polyester. Look, Ray. Don't do this, Ray. Don't do this. I thought you had my back. I thought we were congruent. All right. Congruent. Ain't no congruent now. You're cut out. Okay? Now look. You get the bell bottoms and everything. So this way, the bottom of your pant leg look real cool. Right, the bell bottoms. Boy, it was slick. Boy, and you know, hey. And oh, don't even do the backwards skate, because you know you couldn't do real good going forward backwards. You try, bam. But look, what I'm trying to tell you is he knew that we were supposed to be going somewhere, so there was motivation for him to go. But the only way he was going to go was something that needed to be accomplished, needed to get accomplished, because we weren't about to go anywhere until it was all done. An inspector would come around with a white rag. You need to do it again. I'm going to tell on you, mama. And my friend said, oh, here she comes. I said, y'all better do it right the first time. Y'all better hear this. This is spiritual. Get it right the first time so that you can get further on down the road. And sometimes you got to call on some people to come help you out that God said it was okay. Because not just any friend was going to come over. It was my best friends. That mama trusted. Watch this now. That mama trusted enough to let them into the house and spend the night. That didn't have to question their integrity or their character. They knew each other. Not everybody's going to be in your place, in your residence, in a place of intimacy in your house that's going to help you to get somewhere. Sometimes you just let any old person get into your space and get involved with you and what's going on. And you get a little bit vulnerable. Oh, Jesus, he's so funny. And the next thing you know, mama's out working. And the next thing you know, is something don't happen. What happened? You got distracted from the mission that God had for you. And all you got to do is just polish. And then you're on the road getting to where you need to go. And the reward is there. But sometimes we enlist some friends that you know ain't going to help you. And they walk in through that door. A place of intimacy. I don't know about you, but y'all have doors in your bedrooms? Y'all got doors? Huh? You got doors? Or back in the day, like my closet's in this hallway, we don't have got doors. We got those curtains. Or like it, Ray, my buddy Ray here, he's got those beads still from the 70s that come down. He's got the beads. He got those beads. You walk to the beads, he's got that colored rainbow light that's still, you know, twinkling. So you can hear it when you walk through. It's all right, Ray. I know, Ray. It's because you kept my shirt last night. It's all right. Watch this. Watch. You let people in behind doors that they're never supposed to be in. And when you do that, you can get into a lot of trouble. Oh, they're real congruent for that moment. They're in real agreement. Aren't they in real agreement at that moment? All of us say, oh, yeah, let's do this. Yeah, yeah, I'm coming over to your house. Is Mama there? No, Mama's at work, and I know exactly what time she's coming on, and I know I got some time. Come on over. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Y'all do it. Some of y'all folks in here. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's, you know, I ain't even telling myself yet. I got my kids in here. I done set it all up, didn't I? Well, let me just tell you, I had straight A's. Straight A's. See, back, anyways, look. Never missed school. Mama, I never missed school. I was the teacher's pet. Teacher's pet. The teacher's pet that got loose and didn't come to class all the time. The teacher's pet that had a tendency to be a little ornery. The teacher's pet that when he wanted something, knew how to get in the teacher's favor. But all of a sudden, when that teacher's pet knew, I don't want to go to school today because I got something planned. Call on some folks that I knew that would come in agreement to do things that they shouldn't do, but I would make them do. My influence got other people behind doors that we shouldn't go in. Do you understand? And I, God, how come you didn't close that door? Please, don't forget about your will. Don't let it close. Maybe it didn't happen today, but it's going to happen next day. Uh-huh. So we try to make everything possible because we're opportunistic. You know, opportunistic, opportunity, however you want to say it. You just want to look for every opportunity that you can have. Huh? Because as long as it feels good, it's good, right? Like some of y'all are like, yeah, no. No. He's the door. And some doors he's going to close. Some doors you're going to try to force open. And what does that thief do? Comes to kill, steal, and destroy your destiny, your life, and purpose. You got to be careful who you're letting in. And then you get involved with some people that are not going where you're going. Then you get all upset because it didn't work out. Just didn't work out. I don't know. You know, I heard the Lord. No, you didn't hear the Lord. You heard yourself.
Hello.
You heard yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's a lot. Yeah, and you try to make it sound real holy too, ain't that right, Brian? We try to make it sound, oh, for the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord said. The Spirit of the Lord said. Spirit of the Lord said. Said. For the Lord would have and say unto me, I need to be with you. I need to be with you. And then it break into a song so that you can get into that place and lure them in. But there was the Lord that said, it wasn't the Lord. Who's the Lord? The Lord of the flies or the Lord of heavens? Which Lord are you listening to? You open some things up that you shouldn't open. And we got to make sure that we're going through the right door, not the door that's going to kill, steal, and destroy. The right door that's going to bring you to eternity and take you down the road of destiny. Because the road of destiny is narrow. But the road that leads to the world is broad and open. And many are on that one. But on the road that leads to your destiny is not enough room for two or three people. It's room enough just for you and God. Don't get connected with some things and with some people just because it looks good, feels good. Smell good at times too. Amen. Because where your destiny is, sometimes it's a lonely place. Then all of a sudden, God says, if you just trust me and walk on this road, you're going to realize that you're not the only one on this road to destiny. I'm going to bring some people into your life. They're going to show you that this is the right way. Amen. And if you listen to what the Spirit of God is saying, more doors are going to open for you. Because I'll bring covenant. I'll bring relationship. And I'll bring a blueprint. But if I give it all to you at one time, You're going to want to go start building everything. But you first got to consider the cost. Who's going to go with you? Maybe God said no when you're going to do it alone. You're going to do it alone. Because he knows you have a tendency to always rely on other people. Mm-hmm. The Lord's going to help me. Oh, he'll help you all right. Revelations 3:20 in the King James says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me." Oh, that's beautiful right there. Oh, if that I stand at the door, if he's the door and he's standing at the door, he's saying, "I'm the way in. I'm the way in. But I'm standing right there waiting for you to come in." How many of you know that he waits for you to just to say yes to him? Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Be Lord of my life. He is the door. This is the most important door. This is the door that is the door of salvation. Door number two is the door of freedom. Acts 16:26 says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed." Well, I love that. He's the door of freedom. He wants to set you free from sin, temptation, and he wants to set you free over sickness and poverty. Do you understand that? He's the door. He's the one that can do that. And if you proclaim it and believe it and receive it and walk down through those doors, you will see that the situations that you're in or have been facing you, you're going to overcome with him. Amen. With him. The Bible says he's given you power to obtain wealth. Lord, just send down the money right now. Just send it down. You're going to be praying that prayer for a very, 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 very long time. It don't fall from heaven. You got to work at it. And there's some blessings that will come and overtake you. But there's some things that you got to work. You have got to work it. You got to put some things into practice where you go before God and you sow by faith into the kingdom. What you put in the ground reproduces after its kind. And it's going to come back to you. Has he ever challenged you? Has he challenged you in your giving? You know, the ones that really know about challenging and giving, you feel it when it's challenged. Not the tugging. Oh, give the 10. No. Give the whole thing. How much do I keep? Nope, the whole thing. Have you seen my account? Give the whole thing. Right. No, but you don't see the account. You didn't see the letters. They're red like the Bible. It's negative. I'm not talking about the blood. It's negative. The whole thing? Not even a little bit. You know, your voice starts to cracking. Starts to shaking. He said, "No, you're going to give the whole thing because what I have for you is greater than what you're given." I'm telling you. The door challenges you. Oh, it'll challenge you. Door number three, the effectual. The door for effectual work for God. 1 Corinthians 16:9. "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." He could have just left that alone. I put the adversaries there, right? I would have been happy. Yeah, effectual door, a good door open for me. And then he says this, and then there's many adversaries. How is it that God can start speaking to you and you're, yeah, what? It's the work. The door for the working of God's ministry. Why is there adversaries? It's the door for the work of God's ministry. That's why you have adversaries. And guess who the greatest adversary is? Self. Self. The self will take you right back to the door that's been locked. Thinking that you have a key. I have the key. And I'll open up in the name of Jesus. He didn't hear me. So I'm going to shout a little bit louder. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to tarry. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Maybe my worship will open it. Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. Oh, he ain't working either. Pray in tongues. Praise. Praise. That'll do it. Because praise brings the walls down. I don't need to go. I just praise. And it's going to open up that door because it's going to bring the wall down that holds that door. So I'm going to praise. I'm going to start shouting, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow it. I know what I got to do. I got to walk around it 7 times first. You know? 7 times. And then I got to break the lamps open and then shout, and then it's going, you ain't going to do nothing that God has shut to open it. So don't go back. Don't go back. He writes in Revelation to a dead church, Sardis. All the works that you do look like you're alive, but you're dead. And he says, wake up. That door will lead you to death. I have a door that will lead you to life. But you're the worst critic of truth. Because you pick at truth. And you only put a little bit of truth on what you want. I just pick and choose of how the word's going to fit me. According to what I want to do. And that door will open up. It sure will. Not that door. Another door that you opened up. And then you start figuring all these things. It may look like God, smell like God, but it ain't God. And then you start working that thing like it truly is God. And the Bible says that anything that is birth of the flesh must be maintained by the flesh. But if it's spirit, it's maintained by spirit. And when the door opens by God and his spirit, you can have it maintained by the spirit. Not by your works or your efforts, but by your spirit. It remains open. And that's why I said that we are in a season of an open heaven. It's open for you, but we think that we got to do the works to obtain the openness of what God has already given us. You have to walk through this thing. It is a door that gets you up into the heavens. It's a thing that God can get to you. He can use it as a place of release for you. But we get so caught up in our works. And he rebuked the church of Sardis for that. Your works make you think that you're alive, but you're really dead. You keep going to the door that's shut. You're going to wind up staying stuck. And instead of moving forward. And he wants you to move forward. Well, we got to change a mindset. A mindset. Door number 4. God's open door for preaching. We all like this one. Everybody want to be a preacher. Don't forget about door number 3. There are many adversaries. 2 Corinthians 2:12. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was open unto me of the Lord. When you come to preach the gospel, the door is open for you. But it's not just for the preachers. It's open to every person that wants to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It is open for you. Doors open because it's for his glory. Door number 5, the door of witness. Colossians 4:3. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. If you're weak, God can open the door for you. Revelations 3:8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Isn't that beautiful? How many of you have felt weak and had no strength, but denied him? Because we're all saved here. We all love Jesus. We don't deny it. Right? We don't deny Jesus. We never get to that point where God's just really putting his hand on us that we begin to deny him, right? Because we know he's truly God. But every now and then, when you're weak, he'll show himself strong. Amen. Not only will he show himself strong, he'll begin to show you that he's going to open a door for you, even when you're weak. So it doesn't take all the shouting. It won't take all that, because that one that is closed, you try everything that you can to open it. The door that he opens, all you had to do is what? Walk through it. That's all you had to do, just walk through it. Can we walk through the door? He comes even when you're weak. And he says this, look, and has kept my word. Have you been keeping his word? Wednesday, all he kept saying on Wednesday was, it's the word. It's the word. It's the word that will bring a change. Bring a change. And break some things open. It's the word of God. But we don't want to get into the word of God. We don't want to read the word. We want to go hear the word, but we don't want to read the word. We don't want to do the word. We just want to go hear somebody else preach the word, but we won't want to put that word to pass into our life and let's put it to use. And then we get all mad because we didn't do it. We just want to hear the words. We don't want to do the word. God said, we've had enough of this. Enough. Let's move on. And let's put these things to work. Put them to work. This is a good one. I love this one. The door of opportunity. Revelation 3 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. And no man can shut it. No man can shut it. For thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast denied my name. Has not denied my name. Are you willing to keep his word in your heart and in your mind? Amen. Are you willing to keep his name? His name. The authority in his name brings that relationship. Him and you, and you have that authority as a son, a son, a daughter of God. In his name, you can command things into being. Are you going to declare his word? Are you going to use the word and his name together to make some change in your life? Or are you going to let your circumstance begin to speak to you and dictate to you what is going on in your life? And you look at that current circumstance, and then the next thing you know, all you're doing is focusing on your now and not where you're going. Your now is not going to take you anywhere. Your now is going to show you where you're at. But your tomorrow is going to require you to go forward, not backwards. Amen. Do you understand? We always want to look backwards. We always want to go someplace that we don't belong. Let's just camp out on this one here for a little bit. Let's just camp out on this one. Help me out, Josh. We always want to go backwards. Oh, I remember when I went way back there with the bell bottoms, went way back there with the roller skating, went way back there with my good times van. Y'all don't know about that stuff, but I'm telling you, we always go back to the days that used to bring us happiness. And then we look at where we're going and it gets skewed with our now. That our focus can't look beyond to where we're going. We're always looking at our current circumstance, and that people begin to look at you. How you doing? Well. 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 Can't even put the words to how you're doing. Well. How you doing? Well. How are things going in your life? Well. Are things changing? How is the new opportunity that came your way? How is that going? Well, see what happened was. Look at our current circumstance and where we're at, and we can never grasp hold of what God has in front of us, because we get so caught up with what's around us, and that we think that what's around us is defining us. It is not defining you. It's going to mold you to become the character like Christ, to go through how you go through your season. If you don't like where you're at, quit doing what you've been doing. Maybe make a change in your life. Maybe you got to get up a little bit earlier and get in the face of God. Maybe you got to stay up a little bit later and pray before you go to bed. Maybe you've got to just trust God beyond what your normal is, to expect something that he's never done before in your life. You've got to make some change. Go through the door that he's opened for you. Walk through it.
see that that opportunity is there. And when that opportunity is there, walk through it. But walk through it knowing that He's done it for you. When that opportunity comes, you do it with your shoulders square, your head held up high, knowing that I am the Son of the living God. I am the righteousness of God. And that everything that I do is because He's called me to do it and blessed me to do it. And He's given me all the resources to walk through these doors. And if He said He's going to do it, you're going to do it. No matter what the naysayers say. No matter what those that used to think, I got your back. No matter what they would say, we've on this thing together and you're no longer around anymore. Sometimes you just got to stand and say, this is what you said, God, and this is what I'm going to do. And then at times, it gets a little bit lonely. But it gets lonely at the top because misery loves company. Misery loves company. But I know one thing about praise. Praise just drives that devil out of someone that is miserable. It can encourage somebody. It can let them know that I'm going through and I'm not staying put. I'm going through this door of opportunity. And that every door that has been opened before me is truly for me. Because I've shut the door of my past and my history. I have cut down every stronghold. I have cut every cord of soul tie that has held me back. I know one thing, what is for me is greater for me. And if anybody wants to come against me, He is greater because He's for me. He's for me. Well, you do things different. I'm supposed to. Don't try to mold me to someone you want me to be. Don't try to expect me to do something. Your expectations going to let you down. His expectations are going to keep me going. But your predetermined expectations of this house and of me are going to let you down. But when God says, son, I want you to do it this way. Trust me, I done tried every kind of different way. We're going to be out of here 1 hour. That didn't work. We went an extra four. We're going to play three songs and we're going to get to the message. We're going to do the tithes and offering at the front. And we're going to do our announcements. And then we're going to announce me. I'm going to come up. I'm going to preach. And that never worked. And God said, what are you trying to do? Put yourself in the mold that I brought you out of? You're going to do things different because I made you to be different. I don't need another so-and-so. I need you to be you. You understand? Be you. And when you're you, you're wearing that DNA of Him. And they'll say, He's peculiar, but I know Him. He's different, but yet still the same. He's a little off, but right on. He's a little crazy, but sane. Why? Because God wants you to do things the way He wanted you to do them. The way He wants you to do them. And He called for you to go through a certain door. A certain door. That only you can go through. And we try to bring everybody with us. You don't know this one. No. Because we want to be the ones to say, why, look at what God did. Look, come on. Come on. Look at what God's doing. Come on, come on. I'm going to show you. Look. I had a group that was following me. Really, I did. I'm down to five now, but kind of like how we started. We got up to 100. They were coming with me. And we got down to 15. We stayed about 20, 25 strong for a week. I'm telling myself, quit. But the Lord said, well, are you going to quit? How do I quit? I quit when I started. I quit trying to do it my way and trust you and do it your way. When people come in, oh, you connected with so-and-so, aren't you? No, I don't want to be a part of that. But through association, you think you know me. Wow.
God, is there truth to that? Half truth. Through association, people will make a predetermined outcome on who you are. And they don't even know the whole truth of the one you're associated with. And they start saying, well, you were so-and-so. You were hanging out with them, and you were doing this, and you were in that ministry, and you were that ministry. And so what? You're not my daddy. You're not God. And what God has me to do, it ain't easy. How many of you had the easy road of Christianity? Raise your hand. Easy road. Raise your hand. Ain't nobody had it easy. Wow, I thought Christianity was supposed to be easy, yo. It's closed. The lights are blinking and all. Don't come down this road. It's closed. Easy road. It's closed. You're going to go down the hard way. So that you have to rely and trust on Him. But along that road, along that path, you'll have people to show you. Down this road, it gets a little dark. It gets a little cold. It gets a little tough. But I've traveled it. You can make it. Am I going with you? It depends if God's going to allow me to. You may have to walk this road by yourself. And if you do it by yourself, once you get through that darkness and you come out of that tunnel, you begin to see the light and that door begins to open. And when that door begins to open, you begin to see that season of darkness, that season of your past, is no longer defining you and no longer over you. You're seeing yourself loose and set free because you've entered into the door. Him, Jesus, you've entered in. But your darkest hour is the hour that He shines bright. It is in that dark time of your season of life that He comes in. He says, I am your exceeding and great reward. I am the God of your father Abraham, Jacob, and of Isaac. I am your God. I am that I am, to come in and show you my love for you that is unfailing, undying. But even when you give up on me, I'm right there. Even when you want to curse me, I embrace you. Even when you say, I can't, I will. You're letting go and you're getting through. And sometimes when you feel you're alone, you can't make it, open your eyes and see the salvation of the Lord, because He's coming in and He's coming soon and He's coming quick and He's coming like a thief. You won't even know when He's coming. And when He comes, He's coming for a church, a bride without spot, wrinkle. He says, I'm coming for my bride. I'm the door, and my people need me. And I will stand when I need to stand for my children. I will stand and declare and release my angels to be at my beck and call. But they got to speak my word so that the angels can come to the word of God and bring down what's in heaven here on earth to manifest what you've been asking. We're not asking just for another tingle. We're not asking for another show. We're asking for God Almighty to show up strong on behalf of the people of God. Why? Because He loves you enough not to leave you. He loves you enough not to leave you in their grave, but to reach down and pluck you up and say, come up, come up, because I'm here for you and I love you and I care for you. I will fight for you. Sometimes when you don't have the strength to fight, I will step right in and I will show my mighty hand on your behalf, and I will reach down to the lowest valley and I will lift you right back up. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. You may have lost so much. You may be going through a season of loss right now. Let it go. Release it so that God can give you what He has in store for you now, because He sees you in your destiny. When you let go what's in your hand and let it go and say, God, if it's not for me, I release it, but I got hold of what you have for me. I want the things of God. I want the things of heaven and not the things of this earth, because they will perish and they will rot and they will go away. But the things that God wants for you is eternal. Eternal. He wants you to have peace in your darkness. He wants you to have joy in the season of sadness. He wants you to understand that He'll give you victory in the times of hardships.
victory. It will give you love in the times when you're alone. He'll be the one that will lay with you and say, I'm here for you. Quit reaching a man. Quit reaching a woman. I'm here for you. Learn that I'm your lover of your very soul. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm here to help you through everything that you go through. I'm here to establish you in the destiny that I have for you. Don't lose sight of it. This door is open. It is an entryway to the heavenly realm of our Father, the kingdom which is to be established here on earth. But we walk now in the dominion and the power and the authority that He has given us, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Said yes to Jesus, you accepted the kingdom of God and all the benefits right inside of you. Now it's time to admit that. Release it. Many all New Age religion says that you have an aura about you. Your karma is just so strong. It's called the Holy Spirit. And get it straight and get it right. I am a spirit being in this fleshly body. And I know that what's inside of me is drawing you to me. Why? Because it is Him that draws all men unto Him. When someone that is burdened, someone that is sad, and someone that is hurting, and they happen to show up in your space, don't be like the devil and begin to start judging. Start embracing like Jesus did. He began to embrace them with love and compassion, and they got their whole life and countenance got turned around. But when you begin to be like the sons of the devil, you begin to judge and criticize. You begin to cast out what God said. Don't cast them out. Bring them unto me. Bring them unto me. All we got to do is open up our arms and say, come on. Come on. Because I have the light of God that's inside of me. You want to experience heaven? Don't look up. It's right here. And I can release it if you want it. Great prophet Bob Jones that went to be with the Lord. He could grab you by the hand. Say, you want to go experience heaven? He'd grab hold of your hand. And you would be in the heavenly realm. That quick. Their body didn't leave nowhere. They weren't looking up. They were taken up. By spirit. Spirit. But the body remained. That's why I know that we can get together. And we can hold hands together. Jesus. And now, there's unity in spirit. And because there's unity in spirit, where do you want to go? If you want to go to the heavens, let's go. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand. At hand. Let's experience the heavenly realm. Many of us pray for a manifestation. You are a manifested word. You are a manifested word. Your body needs to line up with some things that you've been declaring. But you are a manifested word, a promise that's come into being. But maybe your current circumstance doesn't line up with the word of God. But it's about to. It's about to. But when is that going to be? It could be right now. Are you tired of the old? Are you tired of the now? Pastor, it's only noon. I don't know what today holds. I know that my now is going to be my past tomorrow. But I know my future is always ahead of me. And what it holds for me, what Daddy has for me, oh, it's better than what I could ever, ever try to make happen in my life. I want to encourage you. That the doors that God has for you, go through those doors. And if you have walked through some doors that have caused some spiritual soul ties to linger with you and to keep you bound, in the name of Jesus, I break that off of your life right now in Jesus' mighty name. I break the soul ties, physical soul ties, relationships. I break them now in the name of Jesus. And I loose you into the hand of God. That brings you a wholeness, a completeness that He has in store for you if you just believe and receive. Pastor, I want the works. I want the anointing. It's already there. I want the gift of healing. It's in you. I want the gift of discernment. It's in you. I want the gift of prophecy. It's in you. Everything of heaven is inside of you right now. You didn't receive a little portion of Jesus. You received the whole Lord Himself inside of you. Jesus said that all of heaven and earth has been given unto me. All authority. And when you accepted Jesus, guess what happened? All of heaven and earth now resides inside of you with that same authority. The devil's trick is to get you back to that locked door to make you feel like you can't open that gift that's inside of you. I'm here to tell you, turn away from that locked door. Look to the door that is open and let it swing open for you. So that when you enter into heaven, you can bring those goods back. And I know we have a tendency to look up, look up, look up, look up. That's heaven. You guys sit next to heaven. I stand next to heaven. I walk with those in heaven right now. If I walk the streets of gold, I walk through the refining process. Have y'all been refined? Going through the process? We're walking on gold streets right now. That's what we're doing. All this beautiful deliverance that was taking place over this conference. That's the refiner's process. And you're coming out like fine gold. Refined gold. The kingdom of heaven is here at hand. And the heavens are opened. Opened. All we've got to do is walk into Jesus. Where God will meet us. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet, if you will, before we do an offering. I want you to stand to your feet. With every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I know we have celebrated, we shouted, we cried, and some of us left with headaches last night because we cried so much. But if you're not sure, if you went through the first door, which is the door of salvation, now is your time right now. It's your time to accept the real true door. No man comes to the Father unless they come to me. I'm the door. I'm the gateway. I'm the entry point. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. If you're unsure whether or not you truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now's that time to accept that door right now and walk through it. Pastor, I want to rededicate my life. That's that same door. You make that dedication unto Him. And if you know that, I want you to come to the altar right now so that we can pray with you and invite you in through that very door. Into the kingdom of heaven right now. That your name will be written in the Lamb's book of life for eternity. It is that very door. Well, we're all good then. We're all good. We're all saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But are you really dedicated unto Him? Have you dedicated your life? Have you made that choice? It's your choice. Come to that door. He says, knock. And I'm standing there waiting for you to come in. But He says, but first you have to invite me in. Now's that time to be invited. Say, God, I invite you into my heart. Into my life. Not only to get me saved, but to get me further in my destiny. To have a better understanding of who you truly are. Let my heart be open unto you. Let the very door of my soul be open to you. So that you can come in and be a part of my life. And be Lord of my life. Ruler of my life. That you're not going to hurt me, you're going to help me. You're going to encourage me. You're going to speak to me.
Give me direction. Give me correction. But you're the God that's going to love me through it all. See, God, I just want to rededicate my life unto you. Gone through some tough times, and sometimes I was at that closed door and I was just knocking and knocking and knocking to the point I thought I could just break it down. But God, I realized something. I can't do anything without you. God, I can't open doors that you have closed. It's for my benefit. I've gotten angry. I've gotten upset. I've gotten to the point I think that you're after me or you're mad at me because I feel like nothing's coming my way. And there has been pain. There's been some disappointments. There's been some heartaches. There has been a change and a shift that has caused me to feel like I'm further and further away from you. Sometimes I can't even hear you. I can't even sense you. I've become numb unto the things of God. All I want right now is to sense that you are here in my life, in my heart, to help me as I rededicate my life unto you, and to even when I accept you into my life, even right now, I know that you'll make things clearer for me to see, that you'll help me to understand, and you'll help me to walk these things out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every soul that's represented here at this altar. They came, Father God, because they felt the pull of the Holy Spirit, the prompting of the Holy Spirit to lead them to the cross. And you brought them to the altar that makes change into their life. It alters the outcome of their now, Father. And I thank you that right now you meet them right where they're at, Father. You are that prodigal Father that runs unto them that are returning back unto you as a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter. Father, I just thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name for their commitment unto you, God, to follow after you, to relationship, Father, to trust you in everything, God. And I thank you that right now is that very season of change of open doors, the open doors over their life, Father. I thank you that joy is here right now. That they sense that they're no longer the same, that when they leave this altar, they turn around and they let the old door close. And they walk through the new door of opportunity that you have for them. I thank you in advance for them. And I bless them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And as they accept you and they rely on you, God, I thank you for the outcome that you have for them. The outcome for their destiny. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Be encouraged, baby. Be encouraged. It's been a struggle, the tunnel, it's been dark, but God says, I'm walking through it with you. That season has come to an end. Many would say it's your new day, it's a new season. Maybe it's a new era for you. It's different. It's different. Embrace it and let God begin to move with you, for you. Amen. God bless you. I thank you for your obedience into the Spirit of God. Bless you guys. Bless you. Elder, if you would, go ahead and pass out the envelopes. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Come here, baby. I want to personally thank you for laboring with us. Your co-laborers with us in the vision that God has given us. We are celebrating 4 years of this ministry. 4 years. Many of you say, well, if you're celebrating, where's the cake? Where's all the sweets? Where's the coffee? Yeah. But I wanted this to be more focused on what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's about to do, than to focus on a celebration that would enlarge our tents. We need to say that we love you and we thank you because we mean it. We thank you. Y'all are family to us. I've seen much growth in individuals. I've seen the struggles in the spirit, but I have seen victory also in your life. Victory. So I wanted to bless you. I wanted my wife to just speak a couple of words to you of what's in her heart. And I know it's been tough for 4 years.
All right. Well, this was unexpected, but just like he always tells us, stay ready, right? So anyway, yes, thank y'all for supporting the vision. We're excited about where God is taking the House of Manna, and we're just so happy that all the testimonies that have come through the House of Manna, we truly know now that the House of Manna is the house of restoration, the house of deliverance, reconciliation. And it's exciting to me when I see people come in through those doors. I know that God has drawn a line for that individual to not go through what they're going through anymore, or to unlock their gifts, to let them know what their purpose is. Because being that it's a prophetic house, God is going to do what he intended for your life. That's why he had you come here. Okay, there's purpose. There's purpose for you being here. And y'all just need to be sensitive in what God is telling you to do and be obedient so you can walk through that deliverance, so you can be blessed by God. Not by Marty and I, but by God. There's purpose and reason why every individual in here is here. And the main purpose is to be blessed by God. To be realigned, focused. Amen. And for you to find out truly, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? What is God's purpose in your life? You will find out if you continue to come and be obedient to what he's telling you to do. Just come. No matter how hard it is, no matter how tired you are, come. Continue to come and be patient, because it's a process. Okay? And when he gets into that area in your life that he's been trying to deal with you for many years, don't run away. Allow him to do what he needs to do in your life. Amen? Because remember, the reason why you're here is because God sent you here. And allow him to do what he ordained, well, not what he ordained, but allow him to do what he wants to do with you. Okay? Amen? It might not feel good at first. Amen? But trust me, we've seen many deliverances, healing, restoration, and it's great. Because always remember, God's purpose is for you to be whole in all areas of your life. His purpose is to bring joy to your life and restoration. Amen. Everything in the Bible is true. It's yes and amen. Just allow him to manifest that word in your life, no matter how hard it is. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise. You did good, baby. You did good. Lift your offering before the Lord, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now for the opportunity that you've given us to sow to the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you that it is a blessing that is returned, but we don't give for the blessing, we give because we get to give back to you as a form of worship, Father. And I thank you, God, that we can honor you in our giving.
we can show our love in our giving. But more importantly, Father God, you said that we can test you in this. We can test your word and see if it's not true. Truth will always stand forever. If you said it once, it remains. Father, I thank you that you declare that you can open up the window of heaven and pour out a blessing because we've listened to your command. And I thank you, Father, that the blessing comes unto your people, God. Some 30, some 60, and 100 fold. But these are your children, God. And you look after them for their well-being. Father, I thank you as they sow today, Father. They sow by faith, believing, and giving in love. Not out of compulsion and not out of a religious act, but because they love you. Worship, Father God. I thank you that they can sow in an attitude of worship unto you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. You may serve the Lord. I bless you. This coming Saturday will be our Iron Sharpens Iron, our men's fellowship. It'll be at Elder Allen's house. This Thursday will be Aliens. And I bless you. Have a wonderful week. And pray for your Spurs tonight. Amen. Love you guys. Have a wonderful day. Bless you.